Capital Insider, sponsored by the Oklahoma State Medical Association, keeping Oklahoma physicians informed about advances in medical technologies, treatments, and aftercare. More on the vision and mission of OSMA at okmed.org.
This is Capital Insider, taking you inside politics, policy, and government in Oklahoma. I'm Dick Pryor with Quorum Call publisher Sean Ashley. Sean, with the legislative session over, Governor Stitt has until June 14th to act on all bills passed during the final week, and more than half of those bills comprise the fiscal year 2025 budget. Governor Stitt signed one of the more controversial bills, what's called the Women's Bill of Rights, the day after the legislature adjourned sine die. What does that bill purport to do?
Well, the bill defines sex as a person's biological sex at birth, and it states that the term equal in reference to sex will not be construed to mean identical, and that differentiating between the sexes will not necessarily be considered unequal treatment. It also forbids sex discrimination while allowing for recognition of the differences between the sexes on issues related to biology, privacy, safety, or fairness.
Why did supporters think the Women's Bill of Rights was necessary, and what are opponents saying about it?
Representative Tony Hassenbeck, a Republican from Elgin and the bill's House author, said the persistent encroachment of men into women-only spaces, whether that's in locker rooms or entrepreneurship programs, threatens the health, careers, and lives of women across the world. The bill, she said, would help prevent that encroachment. Representative Trish Ranson, a Stillwater Democrat, asked what rights the bill provided women, since none are listed in the measure. And Representative Marie Turner, an Oklahoma City Democrat and the only non-binary transgender member of the legislature, argued the bill essentially denied the existence of transgender Oklahomans, particularly the estimated 2,600 transgender children in the state.
A district judge in Oklahoma County has ruled that some, but not all, state agency directors could be prohibited from serving as a secretary in the governor's cabinet. What precipitated that ruling, and what's its upshot?
Governor Kevin Stitt sought the court's intervention after Attorney General Gettner Drummond issued a formal opinion in March that said Tim Gatz could not serve as Stitt's transportation secretary, while also serving as director of the Oklahoma Department of Transportation and the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority. Drummond said that violated the state's prohibition on dual office holding that prevents a state officer or official from holding two positions unless there is a specific exemption. Under Oklahoma County District Judge Richard Ogden's ruling, cabinet secretaries are considered state officers and subject to the dual office holding prohibition. However, Judge Ogden wrote, not every head of an agency or other such position may be office holders or officers of the state of Oklahoma. Now, what that means, the upshot, is that each appointment will have to be evaluated individually.
Five state legislators have asked Attorney General Gettner Drummond to investigate whether State Superintendent Ryan Walters' chief policy advisor, Matt Langston, is a ghost employee. The State Department of Education's public relations practices promoting Walters have drawn legislative scrutiny, and now the focus of some lawmakers has shifted to Langston. What are they concerned about?
Representative Mark McBride and the other four legislators want to know, as you suggested, whether Langston is a so-called ghost employee, someone on the state payroll, but who does not actually perform the duties associated with their position. According to information provided to the House by Walters and the State Department of Education, Langston is a part-time employee, yet he receives state benefits, but does not appear to have an employment contract. Among the other things the legislators want to know are the specific duties assigned to Langston, evidence of his fulfillment of those duties, and documentation related to Langston's employment.
Thank you, Sean.
You're very welcome.
For more information, go to quorumcall.online. You can find audio and transcripts at kgou.org and look for Capital Insider where you get podcasts. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.
Capital Insider, sponsored by United for Oklahoma, tribal nations building unity and economic strength to benefit all Oklahomans. More at unitedforoklahoma.com. Oklahoma thrives together.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.